Paul Simon, who is just one great lyricist and songwriter, on Graceland, Graceland and Boss Gags at the Lowdown on this Thursday, January 17th, which is National Hot Buttered Rum Day, which you don't see that much here on Maui, do you? It's kind of a, you know, for cold days in Europe or the East Coast, maybe. Although, you know, it was 68. 67, maybe up country it got down to the 50s. It was cold for Maui, but I don't know if it's cold enough to bring out the national hot buttered rum. You could try, right? Coming up here, we've got some music from the Hollies, at Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress on the Magic Morning Buzz. Electric Prunes, I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night, and ELO with Boy Blue here. I have some good news to tell you. Ron Mittag is going to be starting a show on Sunday. You know, we love all kinds of rock and roll. My roots go deep in progressive rock for me because I started there way, way, way back when. He'll be doing a show Sunday mornings from 7 to 11. And it's a Sunday buzz with deep album cuts. You know, the deep album cuts you haven't heard in a while. Plus, he's got some tasty live tracks. Sunday Buzz, a great way to get your good music on a Sunday morning on 107.5 here. Good going. Thank you, Ron. Coming up here, we've got some music from Foreigner, Hot Blooded on the Magic Morning Buzz. T-Rex and Jeepster. I love that one. I think T-Rex and Bang a Gong has to be my favorite, though, but great music. And also you two in there. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You know, Monday's a holiday. Dr. Martin Luther King Celebration Day. And then we get into full force looking ahead for Valentine's Day, right? And we're looking forward to it. I want to thank Kahului Florists for giving us a dozen roses. And Lee Bear is going to give us a basket. And we're going to have a dinner for two. It's a great way to celebrate. And don't forget, you can call Kahului Florist early. In fact, it's a good idea, you know. Valentine's Day is really busy, and you don't have to make it crazy. You can just call them, and they'll deliver the flowers. But, you know, there's only so many roses on Maui, right? You don't want to be left out. You can call them early at 877-3951. They're great people. They've been in business for over 40 years. They're just really awesome people there. And they're right there on Dairy Road next to Tamara's. You know where that is? Right there, just above Akaku. Coming up here, we got Van Morrison in Wild Night on the Magic Morning Buzz. Hey, there's going to be a Fourth Friday happening tomorrow in Makawao, and it's going to be a great one. Pat Simmons Jr. Band's going to play at 6 o'clock on the main stage, and there'll be a special appearance by Travis French with a street fire performance called Maui and His Gift of Fire. And that'll be going on 7:15 to 7:30 on the main band, during the main band break. Plus, they're going to have Josh at Maui Hands, and they're going to be even having Pua hairpiece making and all that good stuff. Hey, he just came in. Dave Mason, you're so impressive. You know, musicians usually never show up or come in late, and Dave came in early. Just amazingly awesome. I'm so impressed. Hi, Dave. How are you doing this morning?
Good, thanks, Cindy.
It's good to have you in here, playing DJ for a day. You and Alice Cooper, right? There's some other musicians who've had some really good radio shows, you know. It's kind of a thing, you know. You get to a certain point and you get to talk about music, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Forget playing, we're going to talk about music.
Yeah, I don't need to talk about it. I'd rather play it, frankly. But that's
Well, see,
okay.
I'd rather play it too, but I can't. So next
thing? Well, you get to talk about it, I get to play it.
There you go. Sounds like a perfect combination. Well, we'll be talking to Dave here this morning on the Magic Morning Buzz, coming up, The Cars and Bye Bye Love. Music from Jay Giles' band, Looking for a Love, and Chicago. Does anybody really know what time it is? With Dave Mason here is my co-DJ.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Okay, I have to ask you, if you weren't a great musician, songwriter, singer, what would you be doing? What other secret part of would you bring out if you weren't doing this whole huge thing with entertainment?
Oh, well, originally I was studying to go in the Royal Air Force.
Nah. Really?
This is what I really
wanted
to do.
Well, they had great uniforms, didn't they? And they were those beautiful...
Every girl loves a nice uniform.
Yeah, and they were those beautiful planes, you know that. I mean, there is a great history. I have to say it's a little more regal in Britain.
Well, yes, it probably appears that way, I suppose.
It does appear that way. Did you have a relative? Did you have a father or other people that were in the military in England?
Well, my father was born in 1894.
Uh-huh. And did he serve in the World War
I? So my father was in World War I.
Was he in World War I?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
That was a tough one when they were doing all that.
He was in transport before they invented pneumatic tires.
Wow.
And my brother was driving tanks in North Africa in the Second World War.
That was a nasty one, wasn't it, down
they
in
both
North
were.
Africa? Yeah, they all
so
are.
They fought two world wars, and so I grew up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that don't understand the impact in England that you had. You were so much closer than we are here in America. So.
Well, not just England. I mean,
Europe.
I just think that there's a lot of... there's a lot of probably younger people that really have no clue at all about what was fought for.
No, I totally agree.
I mean, you know, instead of a rock band, you could be having an umpire band up there on stage playing.
Wow. Did you ever learn to fly?
I have a bunch of hours, and I have 20 hours in helicopters, but I stopped because I wasn't doing it full time, and being a casual pilot is really
it's a dangerous thing.
It's not like a car; you can't just pull over when something goes wrong. So
I learned how I took a Lisa plane air course when I was in Santa Monica. I probably did about 30 hours solo, and then I came in behind a jet and got too close.
And as I was landing, the jet float,
I spun out of control down the runway.
Right.
I landed about 2 feet from the tower. And I actually got the plane back to its parking. I got out, my knees collapsed.
Oh, my God. I bet.
And that was the last time I flew.
Good for you. I never got that far.
Don't think I'm going to do this again.
Yeah.
Who did? Was it Roger? No, Tom Petty. The coming down is the hardest part. I like to fly, but the coming down and flying.
It's a controlled crash, you know, is all it is.
No, I'm not going there. Well, we know something about Dave we never knew before. Coming up, we got music from a great, great, great guy. Bruce, born in the USA on the Magic Morning Buzz with Dave Mason. Genesis, I love that song. The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. And Joe Walsh. Genesis did a lot of interesting different things. They were very experimental for a while, weren't they? They did.
Yeah.
Did you know that Phil Collins is the second richest drummer in the world?
I would assume he probably is. Lord knows he had enough hits.
And number one, of course, Ringo.
Ringo.
Who can touch that, right?
I don't know if he'd be the richest, though. Phil Collins might be richer than him.
No,
Ringo doesn't
is.
Write.
Yeah, but still, that huge volume, right?
Yeah, Ringo, he's good. He's the luckiest drummer in the world.
He's the luckiest. Did you ever get a chance to play with him?
Oh, yeah, I knew pretty much all those guys. I mean, I played on All Things Must Pass. So.
Oh, well, that's a great song. That was a great
song. No, I mean
song.
On the album.
Yeah, no, that's a great album, All Things Must Pass.
I played on that, and I sang on... never came out. I don't think I sang on a group with a group of people on a version of Across the Universe.
Oh, words
and then
are
I'd go
flowing.
Down and hang out sometimes, a few times while they were doing Cutting Sergeant Pepper.
Was that at the Penny Lane?
EMI Studios.
Was that a great place to record?
It was studio, big studio. Yeah. I mean, there weren't that many.
Who was the best engineer you've ever worked with? Because people don't understand the importance of a good engineer and a good producer.
Glyn Johns, good engineer, is a good engineer. I mean, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Eddie Kramer was a good engineer. I mean, those are the people that I'm. Al Schmidt.
I don't know Al Schmidt.
Bruce, Al Schmidt. Well, Al did a lot of stuff. Lots of things. Go back all the way to Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra.
Really? Wow.
And he did, he was one of the engineers on Alone Together,
People don't realize the importance of the engineering and the production and mixing and
excuse me.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's really an important part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
if you want it to sound good.
I mean, people don't know the work that goes into that amazing part of doing music, which is like so key. And it changes. It's like changing clothes or styles or fashions. The way they do it now is different than the way they were doing it when it was much more simpler back when you were recording with Traffic.
Our first album was on four track.
Four tracks. Oh my! Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh my! I can't even imagine. You don't have a lot of options on four tracks.
You do, but you have to keep, you know, you keep bouncing down, which means you lose audio quality.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Coming up, we've got music from Queen. Boy, did that come back, right? Would you ever have imagined that We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions would be the song? Did you ever imagine when Queen was doing this that they would be able to have that huge, huge impact? And I guess part of it was they wanted to do the anthem kind of get to the crowd sound with this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was part of their goal.
Well, the NFL certainly helped with that.
Sure did. We can all sing along to the song on the Magic Morning Buzz. Music from the Moody Blues. I'm just a singer in a rock and roll band. And you're going to be doing a blue cruise.
The blue cruise. The blue cruise Justin, on February the 10th.
With Justin Hayward.
Yes. He is the Moody Blue.
Well, you know, because the other, it was really sad. There was the death, was it last year or the year before? One of the other Moody Blues singers died.
I don't know, to be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't particularly a fan of the later Moody Blues. I liked Moody Blues when Denny Lane was the lead singer.
Yeah.
And the record Go Now.
Yeah.
Go Now. They did a great version of Go Now.
I didn't even remember that. Go Now. That's you got to go now.
Yeah.
Gosh, I haven't thought of that song in a long time.
Yeah, he did a great version of that.
Yeah, yeah, that was a great song. But, you know, they were the first to capture that kind of spiritual feeling and the LSD experience that was going on, right?
Well, we were all doing that back in the 60s.
That was like, you know, that was going in the 60s. But one thing people don't realize, also, hash was really big. I went to London.
Oh, hash? Sure, that's all you can get.
I went there and I couldn't. We didn't get that much in L.A. And I went to visit a friend in London, and a friend of hers came in with a van loaded at the bottom with the whole thing of hash she brought in from Morocco.
Sure.
And it's like, whoa! I mean, but that was going on there a lot, maybe even more than marijuana.
There was no marijuana; it was hash.
Yeah,
hash or keef.
Yeah, and then the LSD, of course, did that whole experience that changed the Beatles, and the Moody Blues, and many, many others. Right? Did Traffic get inspired by some of the songs are pretty psychedelic, I have to say.
Yeah, but it was kind of the music too that was happening. And we were it was just an experiment. With or without it, it was just an experimental time. I mean, I was 18 years old, for God's sake. I didn't try anything.
That was just out of high school, before college?
I kind of left school when I didn't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I left school at around 16.
What town in what part of England? London?
No. I'm from the heartland of England. I'm from Worcester.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a very different experience than London.
London's just another big city.
That's
not England.
Yeah, I know, but you think of what was happening there, and there was a lot happening.
I mean, it's like
there.
America. People think, you know, New York and L.A. is it.
Right. But you were in a
personally,
smaller...
Personally, I, you know, prefer the space in between L.A. and New York.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and then there's Maui.
The heartland. Well, people are truly in the middle of an ocean, for God's sake. This is the furthest island from any mainland on this planet.
2,500 miles.
You know, you're
just surrounded by water.
You better hope the airlines don't shut down.
No, that's true. I think we have 3 days. 3 days supply.
Up in the hills of Bow's Narrows hunting those pogs.
Well, there's enough people that do that. Believe me, there are. Coming up, we've got music from, guess who? Dave Mason and Gretchen Rhodes doing from the brand new CD, for real.
Cool.
Only You Know and I Know. We got to listen to this. This is a great, great version. I think we're probably the first radio station to play this.
Well, these are, yeah, this is all live. These are not studio recordings.
And it's great.
They're all live from a, they were actually cut at a private, it was a private function. There was maybe a couple of hundred people there, but we.
Wow.
We recorded it, and then I got it back in the studio and was listening to it, and I was like, wow, this actually sounds pretty damn good.
Well, it does, and you, well, you know, I'm here with Dave Mason, and I have to say, you know, when you do, and a lot of people don't realize, it's not like you just come up with an idea for a CD and an album. It takes so much to get from point A to point Z. In between, there's a lot that goes on, and we were just saying how many times you hear things, you have to listen and listen and listen, you know, and truthfully, sometimes after the 50th time, you can't hear it anymore. So how do you take a step back and hear it objectively with objective ears before you put it out? Because you get so inundated, you can't hear it cleanly.
Oh, with the song, you mean?
Yeah, and when you're producing it.
I mean, I may have, you know, you may have written more things you discarded than things that you actually use. Some people work in different ways. Some people, you know, work in the studio and let something emerge out of that. Me, I'm more of a, if I'm going in the studio, I have to have a song, pretty much.
So you're
song-driven. Because I'm very
song-oriented. Yeah, song-driven.
I'm song-driven because in the bottom line, at the end, no matter what, whether it's digital or this or that and that, there's an old saying, it's the song, the song, the song.
Yeah.
And a great song will last forever, like great music. That's I don't look at like old, like the what they call old is. There are no old is. There's just either good stuff or there isn't good stuff.
What
timeless.
Makes it good? What makes a song relate? Is it the relatability?
Well, if I knew specifically what that was, I'd have a slew of them. You know, and I'd be the second richest writer.
They have, I think they have an app for that, Dave.
but otherwise, like it's a song, and usually it's can be triggered by anything. I mean, when I was younger, I mean, I have to admit, when I was younger, I was probably a little more idealistic. As most young people tend to be. As you get a little older, you get a little more defined in your thing. So, but I always tried to specifically write towards a timeless theme.
That's
so
a good
that
idea.
It did not date the song.
That's musicians, hear that advice. That is a very, very good
and there
suggestion.
Really are only just, I mean, as much as people want to talk about change and this changes and that changes, nothing changes.
Although,
people don't. Nothing changes about people. All needs.
The great song, "A Change Is Gonna Come."
It's that's a change. Well, a change.
That talks
in
about change and never got
a change in attitude, but basic wants and needs and desires of people never change.
Who did
there
that?
There are basic themes in life.
I
Shakespeare.
Was born by a river.
Right, I mean, Shakespeare wrote the 12 sonnets, which were probably his attempt at the Greeks. Who wrote the 36 Pillars of Wisdom, which are basically the basis for every plot for every that's ever been written.
The hero story.
It's like
story.
The Book of Changes. There are only some, you know, the wrapping changes, the bow changes. And you can change your mind, but basic, you know, hunger, food, love, hate, all those things, human things, are constants. They don't change.
Very good. So they're timeless, as is your music. And
thank
only you.
You
know and I know and a lot of great songs that have definitely been picked
hopefully
up.
Hopefully I know better now.
Yeah, right? Coming up, we've got Crosby and Nash, Immigration Man. That hasn't changed.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yes, I played on that, didn't I?
Did you play on this?
That's me playing guitar on it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Had no idea. Gosh, I'm learning so much from Dave Mason here on the Magic Morning Buzz. All right, that's Van Halen, Dance the Night Away, and Rob Thomas from Santana. I love that song, Smooth. Don't you love Carlos Santana on the guitar?
Yeah.
He's a good guitarist.
Good stuff.
You know, I think he still lives here. He had a house here for a long time.
Probably has a house in a bunch of places.
He does. Well, San Francisco, of course, you know.
So
it's part of that whole San Francisco sound. This hour of music brought to us by the Queen Commonwealth Center, and we've got Dave Mason here in studio. Who's taken the month off, but then heading out on a blue cruise, and then you're going to be on tour with Gretchen.
I'll be back out till till April. I have some more dates with myself and Steve Cropper.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. And, and of course, Gretchen's part of my band now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll be back out there.
Well, this great CD that you have out, it's interesting because it's still, no matter what people realize, that it's still hard to get music out there, you know? And you're doing it yourself now, or is this through one of your record labels?
No, record label? I haven't had a record label in...
Who does?
15, 20 years.
I think
pointless.
There's, what, three companies or four companies
that's
that are...
Yeah, about it.
This is for real. So how do you distribute when you do a great release like this that deserves distribution?
Well, I come on... this is one aspect of it at this point is, the problem with the biggest problem is not the record labels, to be honest with you, okay? Mm-hmm. The biggest problem is, and I hate to say this, and not here, but basically radio is the biggest problem.
I agree.
Okay, not in a format like this because you're still doing like FM used to.
FM. I started back there at Great FM.
Exactly. Yeah. So, which is still terrestrial radio, as much as everybody goes on about the internet, terrestrial radio is huge and very important. But there's nothing going on. There are no DJs anymore. There's nobody going, hey, here's, you've got classic rock radio, okay? Mm-hmm. Which you would think would say, hey, that was We Just Disagree by Dave Mason. Check out the latest from him. You'd think they'd be... But there's nowhere left for it or to tell you. And then there's no, and a lot of ones don't even tell you who you're hearing. And then, for instance, it's like, well, this is the latest thing from Dave Mason. If you wanted to get a copy of this, go to DaveMasonMusic.com where you can download the song or you can buy the CD.
Well,
or you can
corporate.
Get it at the concerts.
I remember when it got corporate. I was in it when all of a sudden the big corporations took over and all of a sudden... You were only allowed to play one track. All of a sudden, you weren't even allowed to do anything because it was all voice tracked by
someone
in another state that was sending it out to hundreds and hundreds of radio stations.
Right.
And people, you know what was scary, Dave? A lot of people didn't know the difference. A lot of people did not know.
Of course they don't. They don't know the difference.
And all of a sudden, they didn't realize they were only hearing one song of an album that had brilliant 22 songs or 20 songs. Now people put out an EP that has six songs, or they just give you one download. And there used to be themes and reasons for songs, and now it's just
It's we're wallpaper. We're backing for selling things.
Oh, don't get me depressed.
You know,
coming up. We've got one of the great songs. Don't you kind of wish you'd written Imagine, John Lennon, with this song.
Of course
song.
I do.
Great song.
Yeah.
That's The Doors, 5-1, and The Who, Love, Rain, or Me. Who's still doing it, right?
Who's still doing what?
Still doing great music, The Who. Still doing great music.
Oh, I am.
Well, you are too. Not that you aren't.
I am. We did some great stuff at Mick's place last night.
Oh, did you? What'd you do? I didn't know about that.
I went down there and got up and sang a few songs with Gretchen and...
Oh, fun.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, well, Mick is amazing. He's doing it for the love, too.
Oh, yeah.
He is. I mean, he doesn't have to go. But he really, and he just did that big tour. It was a big tour.
Well, that isn't
tour.
Over. He's,
oh, is he still on the road with that
tour? Oh,
yeah.
That ends, I think, in September of this year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. Now, could you or would you ever do a big tour like that? I mean, there's so much more to stadium.
I don't want to go.
You don't mind doing stadium?
I'm just going to play till I drop. Don't miss the last show, okay?
What do you like about playing live?
There's a number of elements. I mean, basically, what I'm doing is I'm mostly selling memories.
Yes, indeed.
See, I'm at this point, because I've been doing this for a long time, so. Songs or people have certain periods in their fell in love or this happened or that was happening and the song gets associated with that. So there's memories involved in it. And I love being able to, and for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is you take people just out of the daily BS of life, whatever, and also I get to, it's a place where everybody's in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, those people are there with that damn phone. iPhone.
Yeah, trying
like, to. Can't you just sit and watch this, for Christ's sake?
They should almost make it illegal.
They should be confiscated at the door.
I agree.
So that's what's great. And
it's kind of a communion of ways. I mean, it's a communion of energy. People
I mean, right. And I can still do it.
Yeah.
And
you're good.
And I'm not the best. I'm not the worst.
But your voice is sounding
better. But I'm really
good
at being Dave Mason.
If you pick up For Real, Dave Mason with Steve Cropper and Gretchen Rhodes.
Yes.
And Alto Reed on a song or two, right?
Alto's on a song or two from the Silver Bullet Band.
And you'll hear how good Dave's voice sounds. I mean,
and there's the other guys on there singing too. My keyboard player.
One of the greats.
Tony sings Knock on Wood and.
John Sambatero.
Actually, Johnny Sambatero and Gretchen do a great version of the Blind Faith song. I
Can't Find My Way Home.
Can't Find My Way Home, exactly. Yeah, they do a great version of that.
Well, at this hour of music brought to us by our friends at the Queen Ka'ahumanu Center. And coming up here, we got John Mellencamp, Jack and Diane, and also the Wallflowers with One Headlight and More on the Magic Morning Buzz. As Jimmy, 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 all along the Watchtower, and I'm here with Dave Mason, and I didn't know you played on that.
Yes.
How did that happen?
With Hendrix?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did, I got to know him. And hung out. We kind of did some things, and we were all worked in the same studio at Olympic, same engineer, Eddie Kramer. So there was a lot. People would intermingle. It's very easy to access other people in England because that was the only place everybody would graduate to is one city, London. That's where the studios were. So and he was a fan of Traffics and so I got to I was going to take Noel Redding's place on bass.
Really?
Actually, because Jimmy plays pretty much he's playing on every track, playing bass on pretty much every track on Electric Ladyland.
I didn't know you played bass.
I played a little bit in Traffic, but otherwise I haven't played it in years. I mean, I can if I sit down and think about it, but the point being is that. Jimmy and I went to a friend of his, a girlfriend of his, was having some people over one afternoon. It was I don't know whether it was a weekend or what, in London, because she had an advanced copy of John Wesley Harding.
Oh,
and of course, we want to hear what Bob Dylan is doing. Well, I think Dylan's probably one of the greatest of all of them. Frankly, I mean, as a writer and everything. But we want to hear that. We'll all go over there. And so we're listening and I guess something caught his ear on all along the Watchtower. So he and I and Mitchell, I can't remember, it was a day or a couple of days later. We're in Olympic Studios laying down the basic track for all along the Watchtower with me playing the acoustic 12 string on here, and Jimmy, we were sitting facing each other at a microphone, double-sided microphone, and Mitch, and just the three of us. That's how the track was laid down.
That's got to have been amazing.
And then I sang on Crosstown Traffic too, and there was some other stuff that I did where I played bass and sitar because I was fooling around.
That's a hard instrument to play.
George Harrison had given me a sitar to kind of get started on. I crop up on a few things. I don't really think about it until people bring it
and
up.
And now you're playing with Steve Cropper. So there you go. The crop carries on.
Absolutely.
think of the seeds planted.
Yes.
One of the great moments, and to be able to be that in tune with Jimmy to be able to play that great song.
There's a lot of great, 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 great guitar players out there,
but
there are no more Jimi Hendrixes.
Yes, amen on
the
that.
The guy was so innovative.
So true. He was brilliant.
Amazing.
Brilliant. Coming up, we've got some Heart on the Magic Morning Buzz. Well, I'm so happy to be here in the studio with Dave Mason, who is truly a music lover and has a passion for playing and writing. Is it more, you're doing so many live shows, is it harder to write now, or do you even try to write when you're doing this intensive other work?
Well, because of what's happened, i.e. with records and the lack thereof, I really don't write that much at all.
Because it's people want to hear something, oh, there's a pre-made hit. And they want to relate to it. It's easier
They don't. But there's, going back to what we talked about with radio, there's nowhere to expose it.
You're right. Yeah. And they try to at the Grammys. I get so frustrated, and I'm going to get in trouble because I'm a Grammy voting member and everything.
So am I. But that's okay.
And I didn't go this year because, I mean, truthfully, I don't even want to say that. I'm going to get in trouble. I won't go there. People report. They actually have spies that work for them.
Yeah, I'm sure. Whatever.
But no, you're right. The music has to have a door and opening, and I do totally 100% agree with you that radio is a venue, and it has, I think, in my mind, a responsibility.
Well, let's put it this way. If you took all the music away, what are they left with?
Yeah, there's nothing. Commercials.
I mean, that's, part of that whole thing is why I think talk radio got so big.
Well, you might be right.
Because when there was a DJ and somebody there, there was there was somebody
some energy
for the listener to react with.
Right.
It's, nothing.
And talk radio has gotten big, and it's one of the few venues where you can actually say things extemporaneously. A lot of these other radio stations, aren't even allowed to say anything, really, just notes. Literally, you got to write down what's recorded, and you can't say anything other than that,
Sure.
And it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. They think that's what people want. They think that you go for the lowest common denominator. I do not agree with that.
Absolutely not.
But no, I think you're a very wise man, and I really appreciate you sharing your wisdom. We're going to try to get inspiring. It does inspire people to write coming up the cars and the dangerous type on the Magic Morning Buzz. Music from Bon Jovi there, You Give Love a Bad Name, and also one of the great groups, The Band, with The Weight. And this hour, music brought to us by Island Feet. I've got Dave Mason hanging out, and we're talking story, and you knew the band we're talking how great Dylan was, and Dylan recognized the roots. Now it's called Americana, I think. It is. You know how Americana's become like rock and roll.
It's like everybody's going to put a tag on something to identify it. It's like,
It would be called Americana or Americana roots now, but the band was one of the all-time greats.
Well, all pretty much, let's put it this way, is rock and roll, gospel, blues, jazz, pretty much everything but bluegrass is all American contemporary music.
You're right.
It all started here. Brits, all we did was just copy the American music.
But you had more respect for it than we did. And of you doing what you did, and that's why Jimmy went to London, right?
Well, also because we were talking about radio and the other aspect of radio is that, see, we didn't have segregated radio.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. I didn't think of that. And then there was Radio Caroline.
There was Radio Caroline, Radio Luxembourg. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you were a kid, you made yourself a little crystal radio set and could pick up Radio Luxembourg,
too,
all that stuff. But we didn't have that segregated radio, which people forget was here. Black artists wouldn't be played on a white station.
You're right.
And vice versa. So all that great, the Eric Claptons of the world and all that stuff, if it wasn't for the great American blues artists, they wouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely correct. When you moved
So that's
you moved to America in about 1970?
I moved here permanently in 1969.
Right at the turning point there. Right, yeah.
There were still hippies running around on Sunset Boulevard.
I remember that. I lived about three blocks above Sunset Boulevard on Sunset and Doheny up in the hills there.
Oh, you're right there. Oh, God, you were in the thick of it.
Oh, no, I was in the thick of it.
Right up there, yeah. Whiskey a Go-Go.
And our station K-West, which John and I had in, that was in Los Angeles, was in the glass elevator building about one block from Tower Music. And when Tower Music died, oh, my God. That was a sign right there when the Tower Records closed. But, there was a lot of, we used to have a lot of great people like you and others coming in all the time. you know, all the time. It was a treat. In fact, Mick Fleetwood and I interviewed him there years and years and years ago. Yeah, did you ever play at the Whiskey?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Yeah. I didn't know that. What that and was the a Troubadour great venue. And the, oh, I love the Troubadour. I saw Dr. John and the Neville Brothers play at the Troubadour back then, and I saw James Taylor. Mm-hmm. And one of his, oh, yeah. There was some great moments at the Troubadour.
There was a great, actually one of the best ones, or probably, I didn't go to all of them, but one great one was, you know, because Doug would bring acts over.
Yeah.
That were just getting started.
Yep.
But part of his thing was, I'll put you in here, but you guarantee me two more performances.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So acts would come in and, you know, do their little thing to get in, and they were at the beginning of their career, and then you know, a year later or so they'd be bigger than sliced bread,
and they would
and
be
they still got to come back to the Troubadour. But one of the shows that was great was Elton John.
Oh, I didn't see
just
that.
By himself. Wow. With that great percussion player that he had, the English guy, just incredible, just the two of them. Wow. And that was it, and that was the show. It was wow. He was, I mean, Elton is forget all the flamboyance and all of it. You take all that away, man. He's pretty awesome.
He is. That's Donovan, hurdy-gurdy man.
Donovan.
And the Standells.
We share the same birth date.
You and Donovan.
Yeah.
This hour of music brought to us by Island Meat and the local owner-operators. I appreciate you guys doing your business there on Derry Road at 395 Derry Road. Donovan really actually did beautiful lyrics. He was a troubadour, right? Oh, I mean, yeah. He really had embodied that spirit of someone that you could see in the ancient days really doing it for the queen, right? I mean, wasn't that his trip?
Well, yeah, he's got the 60s and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Renaissance fairs and all that.
Yeah, but he wrote good words.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a good poet.
And had a good voice.
Yep. You're distinct.
I don't know what he's doing now at all. I have no idea what he's doing.
I don't know. I don't
you know.
Know
what's scary? My daughter went to high school with him at Hollywood High. That's how scary it gets.
Really?
That's not what you get. And he's like, oh, no. So we want to inspire people a little bit because it's really important whether or not you get big on the radio or sell a lot of records is to still do your music, right?
Well, I just say, if we're talking about that, I mean, not in particular, let's not even just make it about music. It's a just whatever. If you're doing something in your life, whatever it is, if you need some, it needs a passion. You have to have a passion for it, and you have to have the patience to see it through. A lot of people have great ideas; they just don't want to do what it takes to bring it to reality, which is work, effort, and a lot of, you know, stumbling blocks. So I think
it's past instant gratification. It's really having a passion and at some point turning that song into a letting it have its own life.
Well,
turning the song into letting it speak to you as well.
Well, yeah, that. And then once it's out there, it's sort of it's everybody's. Everybody has their, you know, everybody has their own interpretation on what that song is, you know. But if it's just if it's music and that's your passion, you go for it. If you're looking, if you're doing it to make a living and make a career, I think, you know, I'd have some degree in some other something else at the same time.
Well, we all have our
just to cover,
job.
But
right. Don't quit your day job.
You don't quit your day job just yet.
That's so true. Coming up, we've got music from Dave Mason and Gretchen Rhodes, a great song from For Real, the brand new CD, and this one's Only You Know and I Know, a great, great song, and done so well on this new CD. And this was actually done live to a small audience in a studio in, was it North Carolina? Or
it was friends, created? Yes, it was, it's actually, he owns a big 300-acre parcel of land up there in Northern Carolina. He built recreated a whole Western town, and one of it, of course, is a dance hall saloon. And that's where we did this, at a private event there for some people.
Really well done. Well done, Dave. Here.
Only You Know and I Know. It was a big hit for Delaney and Bonnie.
That's right. Was that with Derek and the Dominoes?
No, Delaney and Bonnie. Oh, no, it was
then Bonnie. Before or after the Derek and the Dominoes?
Oh, I knew all those people before Derek and the Dominoes.
Yeah.
I played with Delaney and Bonnie. And then
they were great. She had a great voice.
They were a great band.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Eric stole them all. Derek and the Dominoes.
Oh, is that what happened? Oh, okay. Yeah. Coming up, great music. That's Jackson Browne. You love the Thunder and the Beatles. Hello, goodbye. Yeah, no, I was on K-Rock, and I got a call from Howard Burke, Jackson's manager at the time. And he said, we need a 55 Chevy for the cover of our album. Will you play a bunch of songs that have to do with 55 Chevys and ask someone if they've got one we can use for our cover? So I had, you know, it's amazing how many songs there are about Chevys. You know, I mean, Tequila Sunrise or, no, Freeway Tracks and da-dum. I'm driving home, driving at Drake down the Eagles song.
Oh, okay.
And my 55 Chevy, and there's a bunch of others. Anyway, we got a 55 Chevy for the album cover, which was the days where you could really have that interaction, which I loved.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But Jackson Browne's another good songwriter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very good songwriter. And I've had a chance to interview him over the years, and he comes to Maui sometimes. And it's one thing doing a band, and he can do it acoustically, too.
Yep.
Have you ever done an acoustic unplugged? You have never done
that? Well, I might have been one of the original artists to start doing unplugged back in the 70s. They never did ever ask me to do the unplugged series on MTV ever once. But I started doing it in the 70s, just myself and a great guitar player that was in my band for 18 years, Jim Krieger, who also wrote We Just Disagree.
Right.
And I went out for two or three years just doing acoustic. But have I done it since? I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I find it boring.
Well, that's
because I'm a guitar. I really started as a guitar player. That's uh-huh. what I wanted. So if I can't, you know, I like singing the songs, but if I can't just step out for a minute and, you know, play a solo or do something, it's boring for
uh-huh.
me.
Well, it's for more intimate.
Yes.
Kind of. I mean, Beck just played at McCabe's.
Yes.
To raise money. I used to have a music instrument store down the road from them, but McCabe's has been doing it forever, and it's kind of cool because when you're doing it like that, you know, you're kind of exposed doing it, right? There's no extra.
No.
Stuff. So you got to just be out there with your instrument and stuff. But the band does let you do a new energy with the whole great people you have. When you're playing with Steve Cropper, my God, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're taking it to, there's that energy and synergy that takes you both to a different level, right?
Yes.
Magic happens.
Yep.
Yeah. And it did on this For Real.
It did. It came out really well.
Yeah, very
really
well.
Really
well. Yeah.
And I got to sing some things that I would never.
Which ones?
Sung in my life. Well, like The Midnight Hour.
That's a great song. I'm going to wait till midnight.
Yeah. So, you know, that was a kick for me to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, I absolutely get it.
And be just a sideman, too, while everybody else was playing or singing. And sing Do Shake, Rattle, and Roll, which just became that's a lot of fun. I mean, that's rock and roll to me.
Yeah.
Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Absolutely.
1950. Shake, Rattle, and Roll first came out in 1954.
Wow. Wow. That was kind of rockabilly, though, wasn't it, at that
that's
time?
That was rock and roll.
That's
what I call, you know, Eddie Cochran's rock and roll.
Yeah.
Little Richard's rock and roll.
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry, for sure.
Rock and roll.
So that's what I think of when I think of rock and roll.
Yep. And?
Buddy Holly.
Yep. Oh, you probably knew this guy. Yeah. And I have to say, I still love the early Rod Stewart. Got Rod Stewart, and I love the song he did, Maggie May.
Rod Stewart, yeah, I'm not a huge fan, I have to admit. I saw him, we used to have these shows back, I was 16, 17. They'd be all-nighters, all-night shows.
In little clubs? Well, this is going to wind up my show. It's really been a treat. I, you know, I have to say, Dave, you know, you're a very generous, nice person, and most musicians won't come in and do this kind of thing. You're on vacation, and I so appreciate you taking the time to come in and talk story and be real, you know?
You make it easy.
It's fun.
And I'm busy doing nothing anyway. So.
Well, nothing's good. What do you like to do on your time off when you come to Maui?
Nothing.
You just like literally just sit and watch the ocean?
Busy doing nothing, working the whole day through. Well, trying to find lots of things not to do.
Isn't it nice that you
busy
can
going
enjoy
nowhere,
that?
Isn't it just a crime? I'd like to be unhappy, but I never do have the time.
What's that from?
Pinocchio.
Oh, my God. God, I thought that was some song you wrote.
No, it's from Pinocchio. The original Walt Disney Pinocchio.
I did not remember that one. I mean, I remember Jimmy Cricket.
Yeah.
When You Wish Upon a Star, of course. And, of course, now they're bringing Dumbo back, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
So it's like, who knows? Maybe Pinocchio will come
back. Well, you know, those clothes in the closet become fashionable again at some point.
Maybe you'll do a Broadway show like Bruce and Carole King. Can you believe it? They're doing Broadway, right? And who else? Yeah, there's another one. There's like three big people out there have Broadway shows now. I don't know. Maybe
I'm on an island in the middle of the Pacific.
We have a little theater up the street here. See, the Yale Theater. You can. I'm sure we can arrange to have you have a little one man show up there. Tell the stories. Let's let you talk. Coming up, we've got music from Nazareth, Kathy Collins, and then Jocular Jack, and Alice Cooper. I'll be back tomorrow morning on the Magic Morning Buzz. Thanks for listening.